And the thought I'm looking for is something that is seems to be hard for people to grasp anymore. In our world today, it is something that is almost sounds profound. It sounds ridiculous to a lot of them. But I want you to understand that there's some things that people are having trouble with that they shouldn't. And in our world today, it boggles your mind that you wonder, why do they make such a stupid decision? I mean, you're sitting there and you're, those of us that have common sense, by the way, common sense isn't common anymore, but the truth is, those of us that have common sense and know the Bible and know the principles of the Bible, we look at people making decisions and we can't help but be just dumbfounded at the ridiculous decisions, the self-destructive decisions that so many of them make. And so I want to focus on something that we all need to remember. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I'm just going to read a few verses here, starting with verse 1 in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And it says, "Would to God ye would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from this simplicity that is in Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for being so good to us. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the simplicity that's in Christ. And Lord, at times we just don't know what to think or what to say or how to react when people go so violently in the wrong direction, knowing full well what the scriptures say and that it'll bring about their destruction. And Lord, we ask you to teach us something special tonight from the Word of God. Maybe it's nothing new that we're going to hear, but Lord, just reinforce those things that remain, those things that we need to know and need to live by. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. The Holy Spirit, please be in control of the message. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I've entitled this message, "It's Not a Profound Title." It's not going to be a profound message, as if I ever do preach a profound message. But the truth is, I've entitled this "Simple Things." You know, there are things in this world that are, to you and I, they're really simple. It's hard for people. I have trouble believing that they have trouble giving somebody an F in school because they don't want to hurt their self-esteem. So where is their self-esteem going to be hurt? When they make a six-figure mistake working for a corporate company somewhere, or what? You know, there are things that you and I need to know. We need to know right from wrong, good and bad. And there are a lot of things in this world that a lot of people have trouble with. And I mean, it just blows your mind to say that, well, I think even though I was born a boy, I should be able to use the girls' bathroom. Oh, go stick your head in the toilet and flush it. That's wrong.
Amen.
The bottom line is, guess what? However you were born, the equipment you have when you were born, that's what you're supposed to stay with. God didn't make a mistake. You're making a mistake.
Amen. Amen.
Good grief, it's simple. How on earth do you get so crazy decision? Because you're running from the book.
Amen. Go ahead.
When you run from God's book, guaranteed you're going to make some of the craziest, just ridiculous decisions, and they are not, cannot, will never come about for your good. But it will cost you much, much more than you even imagine. It's a simple thing in our world today. I mean, they want to believe that evolution is true. Okay. First off, they said they don't teach religion in school. That's a lie. Evolution is a religion. Okay? It's a belief system. It is the belief system of atheism. Okay?
That's right.
Plain and simple, that's the truth. I've mentioned this before, but the truth is I was knocking doors with the Soul Winning Marathon when I was a student at Landmark Baptist College, and I knocked on this one man's door, and I don't know the circumstances at the time in the world, but he said, "You know what's wrong with this world? It's all these religions." I said, "They go to fighting, that's what he's saying, they go to fighting each other, and that's what causes all the problems in the world." I asked him, I said, "Well, what religion are you?" "Oh, I don't have a religion. I'm an atheist." I said, "Atheism's your religion." "Oh, no, I don't have a religion." I said, "What do you think a religion is?" "It's a belief system."
Amen.
That's all a religion is. It's a belief system. Everybody's got one.
That's right.
They can say they don't, but they've got a belief system. If they believe there's no God, that's their religion. If they believe that we're all gods, that's their religion. If they believe that Adam came from God, that's their religion. But the truth is, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and you follow what God says, and everything he said in Genesis, the first few chapters, Genesis 1 and 2 about creation, are still as valid today as they were when he set them up.
Amen. Amen.
It's a simple thing. Do you realize, I put this in the bulletin, in the paragraph in the bulletin, but I got to thinking about it. Do you realize if God had created two men instead of a man and a woman, or if he had created two women instead of a man and a woman, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
Amen.
There'd be no creation. There'd be no, mankind could not go on. God's plan was for a man and a woman to have children, to love each other, to stay together for those children's sake, and to live and work together to worship him and serve him.
Amen.
How far have we got from that? It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing that God had to create a man and a woman. There is no birth. Even though I had a woman who claimed to be a lesbian tell me that I've got a son, I said, "There's a man in there somewhere." You can say what you want, but there's a man in there somewhere. You didn't have it with your girlfriend or whatever. And the truth is, why? I'm not all that smart, but I'm smart enough to know that how God set things up, that's how it's going to be for eternity until he changes it. And he hadn't changed it yet. How do I know? I'm next to kin, and I think he'd let me know if he's going to change it. But the truth is, this book is just, it's a simple book, and on some of the concepts are so simple. And the more people try, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing themselves wise, they became fools. I want to tell you something. That's where we are. You can watch the foolish decisions. How on earth are you going to justify two men getting married when God's the one that ordained marriage? And how did he do it? With a man and a woman. And he performed the ceremony.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
nobody else. He wasn't going to send them to the preacher. There wasn't a preacher. He was the preacher. Amen. Who walked Eve down the aisle? God did. Hey, that's good preaching, preacher. Amen. The truth is, it's a simple thing. But in this world we live in, it's so anti-political. I get so sick and tired of this PC garbage.
Yes, sir.
What it really is political corruptness. But the bottom line is, we need to realize, hey, the Bible's got some simple illustrations, simple lessons for us. And here in this particular passage, we see in verse 3, Paul's saying to the church at Corinth, he's saying, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So where's the corruption come from? It comes from Satan. It comes from the devil, and he is the one that beguiles people. He's the one that deceives them. He's the one that takes them from where they ought to be to who knows where. We, a number of years back, there were, well, you can watch the circumstances. When our country gets close and starts supporting and encouraging Israel, the enemies of God are going to fight us. If we start pushing Israel away and stop supporting them and stop helping them, the enemies of God don't fight us, God does. I'd rather have the enemies of God fighting our country with God protecting us than the other way around. Now you say, well, what happened on 9/11? We had gotten in a position that we were putting pressure on Israel, and that's been going on all along, and God started removing his hand. There, I don't believe that would ever happen if we had kept the right closeness and support of Israel. You say, why is Israel so important? Well, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And that's still in effect today. Guess what? It's a simple thing.
Amen.
Just stay on the right side of Israel. Just stay close to them. Help them when we can. That's the most important thing, is to learn these simple things, because the devil's going to try to come in. I was talking to a guy who's claims to be a Jehovah's Witness. They call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? But I don't believe they're Jehovah's Witnesses, because they can't even get to Jehovah without going through Jesus. And you're going to offend Jesus by calling him Michael the Archangel. Amen? So they don't know Jehovah. They can't get to him without going through Jesus, and they don't acknowledge Jesus. They think he was a good man. They think he was an angel. But the truth is, I was talking to this man, and he was talking about the fact that the children of Israel and Israel as a nation had offended God to the point where God had revoked his covenant with them. Now, I can understand a little bit of how they did that, because Jesus on the mountain, he was crying over Jerusalem, how they had turned their back on him, how he would have taken them under his wing as a hen doth her chick. But the truth is, God hadn't revoked his promise. Hold your place here and go to Romans chapter 11. I want to show you something, because here in this passage, the Apostle Paul clarifies the fact that God hasn't done away with Israel. It says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Now, what Paul's saying is, now you do know that when Jesus cried over Jerusalem about the Jews rejecting him, when he did that, that opened the doorway for the Gentiles to come in. And the Bible says, even in Isaiah, it says that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be a light unto the Gentiles. So God knew that the children of Israel were going to reject Jesus. But God never, he said, I'll put them away, but not forever. And the constantly he's talking about, there's passages in the Old Testament that talk about the fact that God's going to plant them, put them on their land, and they will not be plucked up. That hadn't happened yet. Says that they're going to be dwelling in safety. I'm not going to go through all these verses, but the truth is, God has not given up Israel. Paul's saying right here, and you know that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Rome after Jesus had ascended to heaven, because that's when Paul got saved, after Christ ascended into heaven.
Amen.
And Paul's saying he hadn't. God has not cast away his people, the Jews. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. People get boastful. They say, well, the Jews were the ones to persecute Christ. I want to tell you right quick, if it hadn't been them, somebody else would have done it. None of us can brag on the fact that we didn't cry out, crucify him, because our sin cried out, crucify him. Even if we didn't verbally say it, our sin, it was necessary for him to go to the cross to pay for your sins and mine. Our sin, each one of our sins, had sent Jesus to the cross.
That's right.
Now, we've got nothing to boast about. Nothing at all. It's a simple thing. Jesus loved you and he loved me in spite of our sin.
That's right.
And that's why I went to the cross. There are a lot of people that don't understand simple things in the Bible. But let me ask you this. What about this? What about murder? Is murder wrong? Why is our country support murder by killing babies? Hey, if murder's wrong and one of the Ten Commandments says thou shalt not kill, how is it we justify aborting, 3,000 babies a day in our country? And now in October, the first Sunday in October, I think it's the 7th, we're going to be standing out here on Highway 17. We've done it since we started the church, and we're going to hold up signs against abortion and signs that say unborn lives matter and things of that nature. Because why? Because we want people to know where Bible Baptist Church stands. It's a simple thing to stay with the book. God's got a special place for you and I when we stand with the book. He's got special blessings when we stay with the book. But the truth is, when you get away from God's book, you don't know where you're going to end up. The truth is, Eve didn't realize just how much
tragedy and death and destruction was going to come from her simple decision of eating from that tree, that forbidden fruit, and then coaxing Adam to do the same. And you and I see what it brings about. It's a simple thing. God wants us to forsake sin and stay with Him. Murder's wrong, no matter who does it. Even murdering yourself, that's murder. That's taking your own, if you take your own life, you're playing God just like these abortion doctors are. I don't condone killing the abortion doctors. God will take care of them in His own time. But I think we ought to pray for our country, because there's a lot of blood on our hands as a nation because of these unborn babies. And think about it. There's over 3,000 people in our country that are on death row. They're guilty of some type of murder. And they're on death row. So they haven't been convicted yet. How many? Hey, they're going to more likely to die of old age on death row than they are to be executed. It's true. Our country, we kill the innocent unborn babies and won't execute death row convicted murderers. I got news for you. I could save our country a lot of money if they put me in charge. Amen. Just hook them all 3,000 of them together. Amen. Just throw the switch. Save a lot of juice and a lot of time. Amen. Have just 3,000 boxes there. Leave it. Actually, maybe you want to just hold it a little longer and cremate them while you're at it. Amen. But the truth is, the bottom line is, and I'm making fun a little bit, but the truth is, it's a shame, it's a travesty in our country.
That's right.
That we'll kill unborn babies at the rate of, I think they said somewhere around 50 or 60 million in the last 40 years or so. What about salvation? Is salvation a simple thing? You got to be baptized to be saved, right?
No.
Hey, that's what a lot of people say. Or you're all right when you're sprinkled as a baby. Hey, you become a church member when you're sprinkled as a baby. Guess what? You better check your Bible, because that's not what the Bible says. Getting saved has nothing to do with what you can do or what anybody else can do, except Jesus has already done what needs to be done.
Yes, sir.
And what you and I need to understand is we need to make sure that people understand how simple it is to get saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It cannot get any simpler. God said you don't have to be baptized. He wants you to. After you get saved.
Amen.
But you can't earn it. If baptism helped you get saved, then Jesus didn't pay it all.
Amen.
If your communion or Lord's Supper or Eucharist or Mass or whatever you want to call it, if that helps you get in right standing with God and that helps you get to heaven, guess what? You're trying to earn your way. The truth is, it's simple. Put your trust in the one that did the work. That's the Lord Jesus. Nobody else could do the work. And he is not a created being.
Amen.
He is the creator.
Amen.
Nobody created Jesus. I know that there are a lot of people that say that God the Father created Jesus and Jesus created everything else. And I know you guys might get tired of me saying this, but all things were made by Jesus.
Right.
And without Jesus was not anything made that was made. And if Jesus, and according to that verse, if Jesus was created, he had to create himself. because all things were made by him.
Amen.
Hey, the language in the Bible is a pretty simple thing too. Amen.
Amen.
Salvation is a simple thing. Nobody's going to get to heaven without putting their trust in Jesus.
Right.
You can do this, you can go there, you can pray, and you can have a pilgrimage, and you can go around the world and do good works. Hey, the truth is, well, I'm probably going to make some people mad. If not you guys, maybe on the recording. But guess what? Mother Teresa didn't get saved because of her good works.
Amen.
Mother Teresa was a Catholic who worshiped idols, and she encouraged people to worship the idols. Unless she got saved before she died, she is in hell today.
Right.
Why? It's a simple thing. You got to get saved. You've got to put your trust in Jesus. Nobody. I don't care whether your name's Billy Graham or Mahatma Gandhi or whoever you are. Nobody is going to get to heaven without putting their trust in Jesus.
Amen.
And you know why that bothers people? Because of their pride. People, especially in America anymore, they don't like to realize that they have to humble themselves and repent and call on Jesus because they can't do it themselves. Salvation's a simple thing. I'll tell you something else is a simple thing. Baptism.
Amen.
Hey, it's not for salvation, like I said a while ago. It is not by sprinkling. Why on earth would Philip and the eunuch both go down into the water? Why would they even have to wait to get to a body of water to baptize the eunuch? The eunuch surely had to have water with him. And if all it took was sprinkling, he could use some out of the canteen or the barrels or whatever they used to carry their water, because he was going all the way back from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. I think he needed some water. And one more thing I want to add to that list. Not only is the relationship between a man and a woman a simple thing. Murder is wrong. That's a simple thing. Salvation is a simple thing. Baptism's a simple thing. But also eternal security is a simple thing. If you have to help Jesus save you, you're in trouble. If you have to help Jesus keep you saved, you're still in trouble.
That's right.
The truth is, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Who's able? Not Paul. Jesus. When you put your trust in Jesus, the Bible says, like I said a while ago, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I'm sharing the Christ with somebody and I share the plan of salvation, I break that down, that verse down. I explain a lot up to that point. But when we get to that verse, I ask them, I said, whosoever means who? And they'll say, anybody. And if they don't say it right away, I'll say, it means anybody, you or me, or doesn't matter how old or young or what color your skin is, what language you speak, how rich or poor, it doesn't matter. And I said, so that means anybody. But what do you have to do to get saved? And I'd ask them, I'd have them look at the verse. It says, call upon the name of the Lord. I said, how hard is that? They said, not hard. I said, what's the last portion of that verse? And how is it that God says he's going to respond when you do call on the name of the Lord? It says, shall be saved. I'm glad it doesn't say might be saved. When you
No matter who you are, where you're from, you put your trust in Jesus and you call on Him to forgive you and save you. My Bible tells me that with a rock solid eternal guarantee that you're saved forever.
Amen.
It's a simple thing. But so many people make it hard. Hey, it's not hard to get saved. It's actually hard to get that mindset out of your head that you have to help God get you saved. That's where our philosophy is. We think we have to do this to help God. You can't help Him. What are you going to do? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
What are you going to do to help God? Now, we put ourselves in His hands, and we can be the tool that He uses to make a difference in the lives of people. But the only way any good's going to come from you or me or anybody else is by putting our life in His hands. Then all of a sudden, something beautiful shows up. We're kind of supposed to be like the mirror. Me, when I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror. It tries to run from me. I have to hold it on the wall. But truly, you and I are supposed to be mirrors. We're supposed to reflect Jesus. We're supposed to let people see Him in us. And if the dirt from this world hides that image, then we're not what we need to be. The most important thing is for us, not that people see us. Good grief. That they see Him.
Amen.
Because He's the one they need. And if I kind of like doing the introduction. And that's fun. When you talk to somebody, they don't realize they need to be saved. They don't realize that there's a place called the lake of fire that's waiting for them. And if they don't get themselves saved, they don't put their trust in Jesus, they're going to end up in that never-dying eternal lake of fire to burn, be tormented forever. And the sad thing is, that's totally against God's plan to start with. God doesn't want anybody to be there. That's why Jesus died on the cross. It's a simple thing. Nothing profound tonight. But we kind of covered a lot of simple things. Simple things from the book. You know, it's a simple thing which bathroom you're supposed to use. I better not catch any of you men going in the women's bathroom, okay?
Amen.
It's a simple thing. But so many in our world are so messed up. The devil has fried their minds on crazy, crazy stuff. But I sure am glad that somebody taught me a long time ago, even when you don't understand the book, trust the God of the book.
Amen.
It's a simple thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You thanking You for those simple things that we find in the Word of God. And Lord, I thank You for the simplicity that's in Christ. And Lord, I thank You that even though the devil has worked on us and tried to beguile us like he did Eve, Lord, I thank You that for those that have been in my life that You've put in my path and helped teach me the simple things, the simplicity that's in Christ. And Lord, it's a simple thing for us to get saved. We're not good enough. None of us are. But Lord, You want to save us anyway. All we've got to do is call on Jesus, the one that took care of all the sin problem when He died on the cross. And then proved who He said He was. And everything He said was He validated on the third day when He rose from the dead. And Lord, I just pray
that you'll help us see people get saved, put their trust in Christ, and to stay close to the simplicity that's in Christ. Move in the invitation as you see fit, Lord. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.